On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, football is less than 1 month away, fall camp is starting, and we have a couple of recent commits that we welcome home, and I'll help break down their highlights and let you know what we're getting. Also, some exciting news on the baseball side of things as we have some roster news. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 80 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And oh my gosh, we are less than 1 month away from kickoff. It is here, y'all. It is absolutely here. Less than a month. I mean, that's nothing. I mean, we have preseason NFL football this month. We have all of the football talk. We're back. We're back, people. Congratulations. We made it. There's none of this 100-day countdown, 200-day countdowns. It's amazing. Whoa. I don't know what that was. Almost sounded like a weird Australian accent for a second. Sorry about that. I'm just too excited for Gamecock football. Can't even speak. It's electric. And, you know, this is just a personal burden of mine, and I've told some of y'all, and I've expressed my frustrations and my struggles on the airwaves and on Twitter as well, but I am just still grappling with the fact that I do have to attend a wedding week one. Now, it's going to be tough. It's a Sunday wedding, though, but I'm going to be involved in the rehearsal dinner and all that jazz, which is Saturday night, so the one time I was hoping for a noon kickoff, I don't get it, but hey, I'm happy for all y'all. I'm going to be sneaking away with the game on my phone. I might even just go one AirPod and just somehow maybe get it queued up with the radio through the Gamecocks app. I don't know, but I'm going to find a way to watch, listen, whatever I can do because we're here. This team is special. This program is going places, and the wait is finally coming to an end. It's just incredible here. Got a pretty exciting episode for y'all. A lot of news focusing on the football and actually baseball side of things. That's right. But before I dive into all that, you already know that it is time to break out my handy dandy Gamecock Daily calendar. It is actually a piece of trivia for y'all today. And here we go. Name the South Carolina women's golfer who in 2020 placed second at the Spanish Individual Women's Championship in Spain, well, yeah, by shooting an 8 under 280. She was Golf Week All-American Honorable Mention in the 2019-2020 academic year. Wow, that is a packed trivia question, but the answer is Ana Pelez. Ana Pelez, she kicks butt. She is kicking butt at this Spanish individual championship here. And shout out Gamecock Golf. All of Gamecock Golf. It's great. I don't know if y'all saw those hats where they have Cocky swinging the club on the hat. It's just incredible. So shout out Carolina Golf. Shout out Carolina Sports here. Going to jump right in to the bell of the ball, man of the hour, our football program here. And as I said earlier, fall practice is here. It is officially underway. By the time you are listening to this episode, our team is either currently in practice or they have wrapped up their morning practice. But nevertheless, fall camp is here and practice to prepare for week one and actual competition has begun. It is just so cool to see, and it's just so exciting, right? And based on the schedule that the team has put out, it looks like the guys will practice So it's essentially from now until the first game, right? I mean, it's training camp. So a month or so, right, leading up to it. And it looks like they get 3 or 4 days of practice in a row every week with a rotating off day. It looks really more like it's 4 days a week. I saw 1 week where it was three, but 4 days a week, 4 days on, get an off day. Some different players, you know, will have to do other tests and things like that, but it's a grind, right? And that's what you got to do at this level. I mean, obviously the other programs are doing it this time of year as well, but really seeing it broken down, it is very, very impressive what those guys do and what our coaches put them through. But it is nice with that rotating off day. There's also different availability for media, and there's going to be some player press conferences. There'll be some coaching press conferences throughout, of course. But this is just a great time, and it's so fun to always hear who's looking great in practice, who seems to be primed to take a jump, who is showing up in better shape than we've ever seen them, right? These narratives that we always hear, which at a certain point can feel like a cliche, like a guy's like, oh yeah, I'm in the best shape, but it's exciting. And we can laugh at it that we hear the same things every year, but us as fans, that's what we need. And there are certain things that just happen every year. Like there's a guy who is primed to break out. And then also you get to see, is there a freshman or two even who may catch us by surprise and play themselves into a lot of playing time this fall? That is the most fun to see. I talked about this on a previous episode. That was Juju McDowell. You had so many people saying that this kid, Juju McDowell, is good, and he's fast, and he's quick, and he's a good learner. And everyone was like, great, he can return punts for us, and then we'll see where things go the years after that. And Juju said, psych, I'm going to be one of the premier running backs for us. I'm going to help us win some games. And so it's going to be cool to see who is that person, right? There's some talented freshmen on this team, but we're also in a position where there are some veterans at a lot of spots. So it's going to be really cool to see, and I'm really looking forward to following all the notes closely, sharing them with y'all as it comes out, sharing it on the podcast and on social media. So it's a great time. It's an exciting time, right? So super happy that fall camp is here. Going to be following it along closely. But speaking of updates from our football team, you know, I talked a lot about last episode. It was a huge weekend last weekend for Gamecock recruiting. There was the cookout. We had a bunch of visitors, bunch of recruits, a couple guys were ready to commit, and it just felt like this crescendo of this amazing weekend that was going to be last weekend. Kind of confusing myself now, but there were a couple of hiccups, but all said and done, it turned out to be a pretty solid weekend, if you ask me. Now, let me get those hiccups out of the way. Let me explain what I mean. So there were 4 major targets for South Carolina who were all set to announce their commitment last weekend, either Saturday or Sunday. 2 of those guys moved their commitment dates back. That was Tree Babelade and Carmelo Taylor. So naturally, the panicky fan that a lot of us are got worried that pushing that date back away from a weekend that seemed very great for South Carolina, it seemed like a weekend to sort of join the party and commit, moving away from that made us feel uneasy, made you almost feel like they're backing away from USC. But really, only time will tell. Now, as it turns out, Tree Babelade is set to announce this Friday, so the day this airs. So if you're listening and Tree has already committed, let's go. There was never a doubt with Tree. No, I was never panicky. I never thought he was backing off. Tree Babelade going to be huge for our offensive line in the future. Now, if you're listening to this and he went elsewhere, whatever. Not that good anyway. All we got is all we need. Mm-hmm. So there you go. So I just covered both scenarios for y'all there. Now, Carmelo Taylor, wide receiver, I don't think he has set an announcement date yet, but obviously when he does and makes his decision, ultimately we'll let y'all know. But those were two big targets who everyone was excited about, but unfortunately we do have to wait a little bit. But South Carolina did pick up the other two targets they had who announced, and they were two huge additions from the recruiting ranks. So starting with four-star offensive lineman Marquis Anderson. Now, first off, he announced his pick in probably the best way I have ever seen. He had four bottles of syrup with different school logos on them, and he ultimately grabbed South Carolina's syrup bottle and put it on some pancakes. That's all I need to know about this guy. He's going to be instantly great. He's going to be a legend. Probably a first-round draft pick. That is the coolest, best way to announce your commitment. Anyone else is just doing it wrong, period. But this is a great pickup. I mean, really, he's from the state of South Carolina. Marquis is also a massive human being at 6'4", 305 pounds. Probably eats a lot of pancakes. Probably more pancakes than I weigh. But he's a consensus four-star talent and still has room to grow. He had offers from ourselves, Clemson, UNC, the list went on. So this just continues to speak to the job that Shane Beamer and Greg Adkins are doing. These past two recruiting cycles, the offensive line has been an emphasis. And so by this time next year, that room is going to be full of talent. Right now we're looking at a veteran group on our offensive line. You're going to see some guys maybe rotate in. You don't want that, really. So it's going to be tough to lose and replace a lot of veterans, but there is going to be some serious talent. It might be a little raw, might be a little young, but this time next year, there is some serious talent in that room. So kudos to Greg Adkins and Shane Beamer there. And then the second pickup for the Gamecocks, it was one of my personal favorite targets. Talked about him a lot last episode. Four-star edge rusher, defensive lineman, Montique Rames. Now, huge, super excited to see him come aboard. Similar to Marquis Anderson, he is an amazing player from the state. He talked about wanting to rise up to the challenge of being that hometown hero for the team and for the fans. And you watch some of his highlights, he is just flying everywhere, flying off the page. The guy is everywhere, and he is just simply a tackling machine. Obviously gets after the quarterback too, but he racks up tackles like it's nobody's business. He held offers from a few schools, including Alabama, and it's just a great pickup for the defense and someone that I can see becoming really, really great in the Garnet and Black, and it's a position of need. I mean, we talk about our defensive line this year needing those pass rushers, and you have guys, proven guys, like Jordan Birch and Strawn, proven in the sense of they've played at this level. We're wanting more production from them, but that is a position when you don't have someone solid who you can turn to and say, you're going to get after the quarterback. It can make life tricky on your defense. So hopefully the guys who are currently on the roster can step up and do that this year. But you look at a guy like Montique Rames, it feels like he's going to fit that bill. Not saying he's going to come in as a freshman and light the world on fire, but he can grow into that role. I mean, he was also a high four-star pick. I forget exactly what it was, but Rames was the highest-rated defensive player or the highest-rated player that Shane Beamer had recruited from the state, I think it was. And then a day later, he was replaced by Marquis Anderson. So just great overall. I mean, even with these two commits, it shows you that this staff is winning tough recruiting battles against other big-time programs, but also locking up the in-state talent. You know, we've lost a couple of targets here and there, but big names, big targets, guys that we have wanted to get for a while from the state have committed to USC, and that type of momentum and pattern is essential for any program to succeed at a high level. So welcome home, Marquis and Monteek. Can't wait to see you at Williams-Brice. Now, shifting gears completely away from the sport that's about to start, we are going in reverse order to the sport that is in the distant future, and that is our baseball program. That's right. We're talking baseball in August, people, because that's how we do it at USC and with Cox Talking Gamecocks. But just some cool news for y'all. We had several players who will be returning to USC next season. That is James Hicks, Noah Hall, and Braylon Wimmer. The MLB draft is one of the most confusing things. You know, I'm a big sports fan. I've been a big sports fan my whole life. College, I'm a big fan of, you know, I've dove into USC and everything like that. I have been a pro sports fan my whole life. I just do not understand the baseball draft. These guys entered the first-year player draft. You essentially get drafted, but then you have the option to return to school, if I'm not mistaken. So these guys decided to come back to essentially try and improve on their draft stock and get drafted higher. So James Hicks, obviously he was a starter, but got hurt for us last year, had to get Tommy John. And, you know, he has good stuff. It feels like the staff was pretty high on him last year, but he got hurt. So hopefully he has a speedy recovery. I doubt he'll be on the rotation or active, rather, at the start of the season. But he's someone that could come in maybe a month after the season starts, you know, right around that year mark or so from his injury. And if he can improve a little bit upon his year last year and live up to some of that potential, he could be a great depth piece for us, but even part of the regular rotation. I mean, he got roughed up in those couple of years he pitched, couple of games he pitched in for us. But, you know, he could be that steady starter for the midweek games. Or maybe he grows into be a good, you know, Sunday starter or, you know, Friday starter. You know, it's very interesting to see. So, nevertheless, James Hicks is coming back. The other nice news was Noah Hall. He's coming back. Obviously, he was a huge piece for the Carolina rotation, as we know. And he and Will Sanders just made up that great 1-2 punch. But he was someone that took his game to another level during the SEC play and really down that stretch as the Gamecocks were fighting for hope of making the postseason. I know I'm dragging up bad memories here, but he really won me over last year. You know, consider me a big fan. You know, if he continues to build on the season he had last year, really that second half that he had last year, he could be something special for South Carolina and ultimately play himself into that nice draft pick for the Major League Baseball. And then lastly, with Braylon Wimmer, he'll obviously be coming back as a veteran and be looked to as a leader for this team, probably because of that. And he'll also be coming into a pretty crowded infield, considering the talent that's on the roster, the transfers that Kingston brought in. And based on what he's done and being a veteran of the SEC, I'm sure we'll see him in that starting position. But I was looking back at his numbers from this year, and he did put together a nice little season. He hit .312 average with a .361 OBP. So he's going to look to build on that for sure. Maybe put together a little bit more consistency, especially early on. He felt like a guy who was up and down, right? Had some good games, but then also disappeared for a few. But maybe want to tack on a few more RBI, but look to have a nice year and try to bump up his stock as well. So cool to see some guys coming back, some stalwarts really coming back. So that's really exciting to see. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, review, download the podcast wherever you like to listen it. And I will catch y'all on the flip side. Go Cox.